Well, I think it's pretty safe to assume with this crowd that we all understand our need, recognize our need for God's wisdom in our life. We've learned by experience it's good to have the wisdom of God operating and leading and guiding our life. I'm sure it's something that you're very diligent about seeking every single day as well. But have you ever found yourself needing wisdom? You ask God, but you find yourself still lacking? Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe you find yourself in that situation even right now tonight. You know, you feel your need, whatever's going on in your life, I need wisdom. So you've been asking like we're told to do in James 1, but you find you're still in this place of lack, that you maybe don't have a clear answer. You feel like you might be in the dark. We don't know what to do, right? Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I say yes? Do I say no? Which way do I turn? And we're asking, but we're not sure. And we know James 1:6 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he'll give generously, liberally. So why are we still lacking? Maybe finding ourselves in a place of uncertainty or perplexity, you know, vacillating. A lot of times we stay there long enough and we start to feel anxiety as well. And we're just wondering, like, what's going on? You know, where's the wisdom? And so I'm going to make this next statement. And I know you guys all love me and I love you. And I know God has brought you here for a reason and for a purpose. And it might be to hear the next thing I'm going to say. Don't panic after I say it. Okay. It could be an indicator, if you're in that place, that you have a divided heart. But don't freak out. I bring great news, good news of great joy. The trials you are currently experiencing, the troubles you're facing, the things that are happening in your life right now that has brought you to that place of needing wisdom, needing an answer, is God's ordained way of creating in you an undivided heart. He wants to actually bring that to light. The fact is there's not one person in this room that has a completely loyal heart to God. That work is in progress. You're a work in progress, and we can count that it is good is done, but we're still in process here. God is doing that work of sanctification in our life, and it won't be complete until we see him face to face. And in the meantime, we have divided loyalties, you know, and when we're real with ourselves, when we're genuine with God, when God says the problem is you have a divided heart, we have to just agree with him. The good thing is that the troubles, the trials, the things that you're facing today that have brought you to this place of needing wisdom is God's good way of just saying, hey, you have a divided heart, and I want to continue working on that loyalty in you. And now here's an opportunity for me to do it. And so when we're in that situation of needing wisdom from God, he knows what we really need. We think we need an answer, but what we really need is peace during those times. We need the peace of God, the peace that surpasses understanding. He knows what we most need is not understanding when we're feeling the pressure of trials and testings. What we most need is peace, and God brings it. God establishes it. He establishes that peace through giving his wisdom. And I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit will link wisdom with peace, that he'll connect the dots for each one of us to show you his desire for you to have rest. And it's going to come through wisdom. So I hope you're ready to kind of go deep right now and to track with the Lord, okay? So James 1, if you guys want to open your Bibles up, we're just going to kind of park it there for tonight, James chapter 1, and I'll start reading from verse 2 and add my own love on it, okay? Dear sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. I love another version. It's not a translation, but another version says, so don't try and wiggle out of your troubles. For when endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. And he will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Yes, there is purpose for the craziness that is going on in your life. God's glory and his greatest good for you is being accomplished through it, through the trials, the various trials, through the trouble that is surrounding your life right now. He's purifying and fortifying your faith through him. He's maturing the new nature, that new creation. When you became a new creation in Christ and he gave you the nature of Jesus, a new nature, well, he's through these trials and through the various testings of your faith, he's not only purifying your faith and fortifying your faith, but he's also continuing that good work of transforming you into the image of Jesus with that ever-increasing glory by the Spirit. There's great purpose behind these ordained trials and troubles. He wants it so that when you get squeezed by the pressures of life, that Jesus juice comes out, right? I always think, like, what do you get when you squeeze an orange? Well, you should get orange juice, right? Well, what do we get when we squeeze share? Well, hopefully we're going to get some Jesus juice. You know, hopefully what you see and hear on the outside, like what's on the inside, is going to match up, right? But we only know this to be true when we're squeezed. And so these pressures that God is allowing to touch our lives, the trials, the temptations, the troubles, they're putting a little squeeze on us. And what God wants is to have the insides and outsides all match up, right? And so he's also using it to create in us an undivided heart, a heart that is wholly devoted to God, wholly devoted to your king and his kingdom. That's what he's doing. That's the work he's doing. What James is describing is a life that is surrounded by many different trials. I kind of made my visual of what that looks like. Like, there's your heart at the bottom of your page, and all the arrows are the various trials. It's like many different. It doesn't have to be one big. I mean, sometimes one big one is all it takes, and that's enough to put the squeeze on us. But sometimes it's like all these little things, right, in life, just one thing after another thing after another thing, and all of a sudden you find yourself in this season surrounded. That's what that word various means. It kind of gives you the picture that you are surrounded by troubles of all different kinds, and it's putting some pressure on you. And it's testing your loyalty. It's to God. It's testing your faith, your trust in God. And James acknowledges that under that kind of pressure, you're going to feel an urge to what? I mean, what do you usually feel the urge to do when you're getting the squeeze? see ya, right? I don't know about you, but that's usually my cue to run really fast, as far as I can. I don't like troubles. None of us do. He doesn't want us to run, to wiggle out of our troubles. So James encourages us to remain in it because it's producing some much needed transformation work in our lives. And under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James says, under this kind of pressure, when you're surrounded by temptations and testing, you're going to feel your lack of wisdom. You're going to feel your need for wisdom. Doubts and fears that you might not have even known existed in your heart are somehow brought to light and brought to the surface by the temptations and trials and troubles. And that's how our life is going as God's child, right? We don't even know half the things that are lurking there in the dark folds of our heart until we're the squeeze, you know, we get the squeeze, and then they're brought to light. And we see, oh, there's maybe some doubt, maybe some fears. But it's good. God wants to bring these things to the surface. It's such a good thing. God is purifying our faith. He wants to fortify our faith. He doesn't want us to continue on with weak faith, with doubting, with fears, with divided loyalties. And you're going to see why. Don't want to do, so I hope you're not disappointed, is just, you know, share a time in my life when I was surrounded by various troubles and temptations, because we all have our stories. And you know what, three little things might put the squeeze on me and make me, you know, feel the pressure. If I shared those three things with you, you'd be like, what? Like, that made you want to run? Like, that made you stress out? Like, you should be, you know, stand in my shoes for a day. You should see what I'm going through. And we could, you know, it's so relative. And so I really don't want to, you know, get into some big, long testimony about a time that I've gone through this. And nobody escapes. If you're a child of God, you know, this is like his ordained way, his means and his way of purifying faith, of showing us, hey, you have a divided heart, and I'm gonna fix that, you know, for you. And but I can say a few things about it. I mean, just a few years ago, I had about this 9-month stretch of time. It was 2015. We had the flood of 2015 in my house, and we had cancer, and we had financial, you know, threatenings, and it was like the various troubles and trials. And if one or two of those things in the course of the 9 months had happened, maybe I could have stood on my own. I could have maybe handled it. But God's so good, he can bring us to the end of our strength, bring us to the end of our wisdom, bring us to the end of, you know, our own working things out. And he knows just that perfect sort of conditions to do that for each one of us. And he did it for me. And what it did, though, I love that I can look back over the 30 years of being God's child and look back and go, wow, he really has been maturing me. He really has used the various trials, the various temptations and troubles in my life to purify my faith. He really has done that. He's shown me where I'm doubting, where I'm fearing by those very trials. He shows me where I'm lacking wisdom. He shows me where I have a divided heart, where I'm, you know, still holding on to the things of the world. So what does he do? He brings a flood through my home. I'm not saying he's like the author of destruction or anything like that. I'm just saying, hey, he knew the flood was coming. He knew the pipe was going to burst, and he was ready to use that in my life, you know, on top of everything else. But each one of those things, you know, the various trials, they're testing loyalty. You know, am I loyal to my king and his kingdom, or am I loyal to this queen and her kingdom? You know, and the trials and the troubles are bringing these things to light. So what it did reveal that it wasn't the pressure of the testings that was making me feel anxious. Sometimes we think it's the pressure that's surrounding our life that's making us feel anxious. But what was making me feel anxious was my divided heart. That's what was making me feel anxious. I mean, let's just get it right. It's not your teenagers making you feel anxious, and it's not what's going on at work that's making you feel anxious. It's not that thing that's up ahead that's making you feel anxious. It's your divided heart that's making you feel anxious. And God's here to say, that's where it's at. That's where it's coming from. Praise God, he's showing us. He's giving us the wisdom to know where it's coming from. It's a heart issue, like everything else. An issue of the heart. I had dual loyalties. Well, so what that time of being surrounded with various troubles was doing, purifying my faith and strengthening my faith, it was making me more loyal to my king and his kingdom. It was making me more like Jesus. And I can confidently stand up here and say that that 9 months of that pressure, I came out the other side a little more loyal. Thank you, Jesus. Only he could do that. We can't do that work. We're only kind of like, we have these choices to make, but God's doing the actual work when we just agree with remaining where he puts us instead of trying to wiggle out. Okay, even when it's difficult, even when we're suffering, even when there's loss. Are you surrounded by many various trials that are testing your faith? Ask God for wisdom. But he's going to get down to some nitty-gritty here about that. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. And he won't rebuke you for asking. James is saying wisdom is what you need. And you don't need an answer to what, where, why, when, and how. We think that's what we need. James is saying what you need is wisdom. You feel you need understanding, but what you need is the peace of God in those seasons, in those times that surpasses understanding. Why wisdom? When you think of all the things, you're surrounded by many things that are putting pressure on your life. Why wisdom? Why does James say, ask for wisdom right then, you know, during that time? It's because wisdom is the way to peace. Wisdom is the path of peace. Wisdom will keep you on the path of God's purpose for your life while under pressure, so that you don't run off the path. You don't derail and run, you know, off the course because it's too much pressure, right? He wants to keep us on this path, his purpose for our life, and wisdom will keep you there. Wisdom will keep you on the path of spiritual vitality and usefulness for God's kingdom when under pressure. When you're surrounded by many troubles, he's going to keep you on his path through wisdom. Wisdom will keep you from running off that path when surrounded by trials, because the wisdom of God will bring the peace of God. Verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't doubt. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they're unstable in everything they do. God will surround you with various trials to reveal a divided heart. And this needs to be revealed to us. We need to see it, because that's where the unrest is coming from. That's where the anxiety is coming from. God wants to create in you an undivided heart. A divided heart breeds fear and anxiety, and it's amplified when under pressure. Okay? We might be feeling a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt, just on a daily basis for whatever reasons, and just this little lingering anxiety that we all have just learned to manage and deal with, right? Until we're surrounded by many things that are putting pressure on our life, and then we snap, right? Then we feel it. Then the anxiety rises, and we think it's because of these all these external forces coming at us, but it's coming from your heart. that has divided loyalties. Okay, God's wisdom. I just want to talk about God's wisdom for a moment here. God's wisdom is described all throughout the Bible as a treasure of something of greatest, something that has the greatest value. It's described as secrets and mysteries. It's perfect, it's complete, and it's pure. In Colossians 2:3, we're told that Jesus is wisdom itself. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says that God made Jesus to be wisdom for us. Isn't that amazing? In Luke 2:4, our theme scripture, it says, and Jesus was filled with wisdom, meaning filled to the full, complete, lacking nothing. There was no space, you know, where there was emptiness. Full, complete, whole, perfect, pure wisdom. That's who Jesus is. You know what I love? Do you love in your walk with God? Have you made these revelations along the way? Like you start out as maybe a new Christian and you're praying for peace. Oh Lord, I need peace. Please give me peace. And one day it's like the Holy Spirit just turns the light bulb on and you discover, well, he is peace. The very thing I'm asking for, he is. He is peace. Or I need joy and I don't know where my joy went and I need my joy restored and where did it go? And then light bulb goes on by the Holy Spirit and you realize he is joy. Light bulb, he is wisdom. We're asking for wisdom and we're asking for wisdom. You know what you're asking for? You're asking for Jesus. That's what you're asking for. Yes, he is the answer to every question. We always come to that conclusion. But when you ask for wisdom, what you're really asking for is to know Jesus, to discover Jesus, to have revelation of Jesus, because he is wisdom itself. So his wisdom is also described as being kept, being stored up, fenced in, locked up. You can look at a verse like, say, Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know yet. Those mighty things, that means they're fenced in, they're inaccessible, they're locked up. You have to call for them. You have to ask for them. And we're going to see there's a little bit of criteria surrounding accessing the wisdom of Jesus. We have to ask for it, search for it, seek it, call on God for it. And the criteria for unlocking this treasury of the wisdom of Jesus is by faith, asking by faith, as we read in James 1, right? But we're also told all through the Bible that it's accessed by the fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is the starting point, right? The beginning of wisdom. There's so many scriptures that just confirm that and back that up, and I'll share a few of them with you tonight. So I want to talk first about the wisdom, this treasury of wisdom that is locked up, but is accessible to God's children. I want to talk about how it's accessed by faith first, because it's these two elements, faith and fear, you know, fear of the Lord. So your asking must be in faith. If you doubt, you won't receive anything. Faith in what? Well, faith in who he says he is. Faith that he will supply. Faith that what he does supply in the way of wisdom will be enough. It'll be, in fact, more than enough. It'll be liberal. It'll be generous. It'll be more than you actually will need. Faith that his wisdom is perfect and pure. Faith that he is wisdom itself. Faith that he gives more than you'll need. James said, ask in faith without doubting. And he gives us an indicator that helps us to know if we are doubting. James says that you will look like a wave. You're going to look like a wave that's being driven and tossed back and forth by the wind. That's what you'll look like. To me, you know, in my mind's eye, I can picture what that looks like on my face and in my life. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Oh my gosh. And I'm this way. And what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? I don't know what to do. That's what it looks like in my life. Doubt looks like fear is driving. Fear is driving you. Fear is behind the wheel of your life. That's what doubt looks like. And you'll be indecisive. You'll be looking to the left and to the right. You'll be tossed back and forth. You'll catch wind of this advice and then of that advice, and it'll make you feel unsure, indecisive, anxious, unsettled. Well, we know that behavior follows belief. And I just described to you what James described, a behavior. You'll be like, that's the behavior, a wave that's being driven and tossed. And that behavior, though, is following a belief. So what is behind the behavior? A double-minded woman. That's what James says. He says double-minded man. Double-minded woman. That's what's behind. That's the belief behind the behavior. He says you'll be like a wave, but you are a double-minded woman. A double-minded woman is a woman with divided interests, divided loyalty. She may regard some of God's words, some of God's teachings, some of God's wisdom, but she also regards or that of someone else's. She might respect and regard some of God's plans and purposes, but there are parts of her heart and her life that she is esteeming her own kingdom, her own purposes, her own plans, her name, her reputation higher than God's. A little bit of God's word and a little bit of what I have to say and think and feel and want to do, right? I think all of us would like to think that there is nothing in our hearts that's like this, right? I mean, I want to think that I'm just so devoted to the Lord, and I want to be, you know, I'm kind of making light of it, but I want to be, and I know you want to be as well. But until that is tested, we don't know the genuineness of our loyalty. God knows, but he brings the test. He brings the trial. He brings the pressure so that you'll know. And it's not to crush you. The troubles that you're surrounded by today, they are not meant to crush you. They are meant to purify you. They are meant to transform you. They are meant to make you, to make a heart that is more devoted, more loyal to the King and his kingdom. Our loyalty to God will affect, so now track with me, our loyalty to God will affect the way we respond to being surrounded by various troubles and temptations. It's going to be in the driver's seat, driving our motives for what we're asking for, okay? It will determine what we're asking for. Your loyalties will determine what you're asking for. A heart that has divided loyalties will ask for wisdom with the purpose of, how do I get out of this trouble? Which way do I go to avoid loss, to avoid pain, to avoid suffering? What do I do in order to build up my own kingdom here? How can I advance my own plans? And that's the wisdom we're asking for when our loyalties are to ourselves. How can I build up my name, my good reputation? James says that if we have a divided heart, don't expect to receive anything from God. If you're perplexed at why you don't have an answer to your asking, it is possible that God is just revealing some of that divided heart. The wisdom God wants us to have is the wisdom that accomplishes his plans and his purposes. That's when he's eager. That's when he's generous. That's when he opens the storehouse, is when we're loyal to his plans, his purposes, then he opens up the treasury of his wisdom because he wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. Wisdom that will keep us, he wants to give us wisdom that will keep us in perfect peace, wisdom that will keep us on his path of righteousness. Why? Why does he keep us on his path of righteousness? For his name's sake, right? He wants to give us wisdom that will keep us working with him to build up his kingdom, to keep representing him as his ambassador. And now here's where the fear of the Lord becomes part of the criteria, okay, for accessing the wisdom of God. Psalm 25:14 says, "The secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him." Isaiah 33:6, "The fear of the Lord is the key to the treasury of his wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the key that opens and accesses the secrets, the mysteries, the treasury of the wisdom of God. The key is to respect and regard God, his word, his wisdom, his will, his way, his time. How many of you were at the fall retreat? In November at Murrieta with Costa Mesa, right? We talked a lot about God being in harmony with God's will, God's way, God's time, right? And how that being in agreement brings that peace, that there's no more conflict. There's no more wrangling with God, debating with God over his will, his way, his time, which is his wisdom. When he reveals his way, his will, his time, that's revealing his wisdom to you. So, what does the fear of the Lord look like in regard to accessing God's wisdom? And what I want to give to you here is just sort of some practicals of what it looks like to fear the Lord on a daily basis, whether you're surrounded by various troubles or not, so that when you are surrounded by various troubles and trials, you're already doing and being, you know, what you're supposed to be doing and being, so that you're prepared for this. You know how to respond. Well, if you want to open your Bibles to Jeremiah 23, I just want to share a little bit from this kind of random portion of scripture. As I was praying and preparing to come and share with you, and I was asking God, like, man, what does it look like to fear you every day, to respect you every day? What does that look like in my daily life, and how can I respect you more? How can I regard your wisdom and your word more in my life? And what can I bring to the women, Lord, just to, as an example, you know, and as an equipping in this? And he led me to Jeremiah 23, verses 18 through 22. And God was talking to Jeremiah about his God's prophets and priests. And he was telling Jeremiah they're adulterers. They have divided loyalties, divided hearts. Their loyalty was to their own lusts. They regarded idols. They respected the favor of people. Their pride and their lust divided their loyalty. And they had, God was telling, they actually had no loyalty to God. And that they despised God's word, God's wisdom, and it led them astray. And because they were God's appointed leaders, they led, those prophets and priests led the people of God, the children of God, astray as well. So what I want us to do as I go through these verses is just use them to check. Does my respect, my regard for God and his word and his counsel look like this? And regard is a key to the treasury of wisdom. Respect, regard for God's word is a key, okay, to access it. Verse 18, "For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord?" This is a rhetorical question God is asking Jeremiah. Just a rhetorical question. He says, because he's talking about his prophets and priests. He's like, who's even like stood in my counsel? Has anybody even stood in my counsel? And who's perceived and heard his word, you know, my word? Who has marked his word and heard it? The prophets and the priests weren't. They weren't standing in the council of the Lord. They weren't even showing up. They weren't even trying to understand. And if they weren't, they are the ones who had access to the scrolls. They were the ones who were trained and taught in the Lord in order to teach and lead the people. And they themselves weren't doing it. Well, I want to just break that verse 18 down a little bit. And I kind of wrote a lot of that out for you on the other side of the handout as well, just so you wouldn't feel like you had to scramble to write out, because I'll probably go through it kind of quickly. So what does it mean to stand in the counsel of his word? Because this is what it looks like to respect, to fear the Lord and his word. You stand in his counsel. That means to present oneself, to present yourself. And I picture like little Samuel, you know, as a prophet, the first time that God was going to speak to him and his first experience with hearing from the Lord. Do you remember? He went and he said, "Here I am, Lord." He presented himself to the Lord. "Here I am. Your servant is listening." And so we position ourselves in his counsel, and then we remain there. Jesus told his disciples, "Let my word remain in you." A disciple who abides in Jesus, that is, trusts and rests in him, is the will of God. If his word is abiding in you and you're trusting and resting in him, you are the will of God. You don't have to figure out what the will of God is. You are the will of God. Job certainly didn't understand why he was being tried, right? His friends insisted it was because God was punishing him. He must have sinned and God was punishing him. And we can feel that way sometimes when surrounded by a lot of things that are trying and troubling. But Job was in the center of God's will, wasn't he? He was a man who had faith in God and feared God. And we sometimes think, I must not be in God's will because I'm surrounded by difficulties. Like, if I must not have heard God correctly, I must have got it wrong. I thought he gave me his wisdom, but why am I suffering then? Why am I losing something then? Or why aren't things working out the way I thought they should work out? But Job, you know, do you remember when God just kind of silenced him? Job stopped asking all the wrong questions, you know, who, what, why, where, when, and how, and all of that. And God just basically laid out, revealed his wisdom to Job, and it silenced Job. He put his hand over his mouth, and that's what the true wisdom of God will do for us, you know, when we're surrounded. We'll just put our hands over our mouth. We'll just stand and let God speak. We'll just stand in his counsel. And then perceive. Who has perceived his word? And this word perceived means to behold and to respect his word, to regard and to heed his word, to enjoy, consider, observe, and give attention to his word. Is there something about his word you don't understand? Well, seek to understand it. Too often we get into these bad habits of just getting into the word so we can check off the box that day. Or, you know, we open up the word like we're going to do our Bible study, but we're not really looking to understand anything. We're just looking to get the answer to the next question, right? And if we don't understand, we don't even care that we don't understand. We're just writing down our answer. To perceive it means, hey, if you don't understand something, wait on God. Ask God. Say, I don't understand. I want to understand this. What are you questing when you read his word? How often when you open up the word of God, are you just looking for you? We're supposed to be opening our word and looking for Jesus. Are you looking for a solution to a dilemma? Or how to get out of your jam? Or how to keep your kids from despising you? Quest to understand him. He is wisdom itself. Job wanted the suffering to be over, and understandably, he wanted answers from God, right? He was questioning God about the severity of his loss. But by the end, all of God's answers were actually revelations and reminders of who God is, right? God just revealed himself. He didn't give Job answers to his questions. The wisdom came by God revealing himself, and Job understood then. You know, not that we understand everything that God is seeing, but then Job understood God's wisdom was perfect. It was pure. It was his judgments were right. His God's will, God's way in God's time was perfect for Job. Okay, heard. This word is radical. Okay, heard means, and there's a lot here, to hear in regard. When you hear God's word, you hold it above all other wisdom. That's what it means to hear God's word and regard it. You hold it above every other word, every other piece of advice, every other wisdom you might hear. You hold it above. The opposite of regard is despise. And we know that God's word has a lot to say about despising his word or despising his wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom. Despise means to regard as insignificant or to trample underfoot. It also means, this word heard, to hear and to yield. So when we're in the presence of God's word and presenting ourselves in God's word, standing in his counsel, we need to humble ourselves. When we're listening, when we're hearing, when we're reading, that means we have to put our opinions, our ideas, our dreams, our plans, our purposes under God's, right? We have to give him the right of way. We step back with our plans and purposes and ideas, with our will, our way, our time. We step it back. We yield to God's will, God's way, God's time, so it can be brought in. If you're insisting, if you're the one driving my will, my way, my time, we're like running the Holy Spirit right off the road. We've got to yield. We've got to step back. Humble ourselves. Regard God's wisdom as highest. Give God the right of way. Okay, it also means to hear and agree, and this is a big one. We've got to let the Holy Spirit have his way in bringing us into agreement with all of God's word. Okay, and this is happening. He's using the pressures in your life right now as an opportunity to bring you into agreement with him. He's showing you where that this anxiety is coming, the divided heart's coming from, you know, you're loyal to something in and of yourself and not loyal to his will, his way, his time, and his wisdom. And so he wants to bring all that you're hearing in God's word, he wants to bring you into agreement with it so that you can say yes and amen, so be it, right? Let it be as you say, Lord. Are you surrounded by pressures? Seek, ask for wisdom in faith with fear and regard for his wisdom. And this is creating a wholehearted devotion to him, a life that's loyal to your king and his kingdom. There's no longer two separate identities, right? You're a new creation in Christ. There is no longer your plans, your purposes, your dreams, your desires, and God's plans and purposes and his dreams and his desires. God is renewing your mind. He's given you the mind of Christ. So he's bringing all any separateness in thinking, he's bringing it together, common union. He's bringing it to one identity, one mind, the mind of Christ. No longer two separate identities. Now you identify with everything that Jesus is identified with. Right? And I love this last one. Who has marked his word? Marked means attend to it, get to it. Yes, underline your Bibles. Yes, write things down, journal it, take note. All these things tell God, I hear you, I'm listening. What you're saying to me is important. I'm going to mark it. I'm going to underline it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to take notes. Have you ever experienced this? Like maybe you're hearing something from the Holy Spirit tonight. You're marking it, right? You're writing it down. If you hear from God, I know when you hear from God because your pens are like going like this, right? And then maybe you don't understand completely tonight what God is trying to speak to you and say to you, but then maybe you're going to get in the car when you leave tonight. You're going to turn on K-Wave and then you're going to hear something else. God's going to bloom it out. The treasury has been opened. The faith, the fear of the Lord, the regard went up there, right? And the treasury's being opened. And now he's going to be giving generously. He's going to be giving liberally. You're not going to be in lack because you're marking it, because you're standing in the counsel of the Lord, because you want to understand, because you're regarding his wisdom as above all other wisdom, because you're hearing it, and I want to agree, and God, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? And we're going to yield. We're just going to step it on back because my way hasn't been working, and that's causing anxiety. He doesn't want you to be anxious. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want unrest. He doesn't want conflict with you. That's why he's letting you see these things. That's why he's bringing it to light. Because he wants to bring you into harmony with him. So mark it. Let him bloom it out. Let him open up the treasury. We should be in such agreement with God that we could sign at the bottom of every page of your Bible. I was talking to some friends last night and we were talking about these very things and talking about, and mark it. And we were saying like, and it's kind of like if you were to read every page of your Bible, when you get to the bottom of the page, you like sign your name at the bottom saying, so be it. Amen. I agree. I agree with everything I just read. And you sign off on the bottom. Just like you would a contract. You read the contract, you see what it contains. If you don't understand something on the contract, what do? You get on the phone with your lawyer, somebody who does understand, right? You get your understanding. You read it back through again, and now you're initialing every little point. And at the bottom, what do? You sign it. I agree to what I just read. It's not legalism. It's called worship. It's called fear of the Lord. It's called faith. It's called trusting. Sign off on it. Mark it. I agree, Lord. I agree. Okay. Wow. I know. I've kind of gone long. I'm going to wrap it up really quick with Philippians 4:7, just to bring it full circle here in how wise wisdom connected to the peace of God. Because we're told, don't be anxious. But we know we're anxious, right? Don't be anxious, but what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That means act, right? With thanksgiving, that's your faith expressed, right? And then what? Oh, let your request be known. I need wisdom. I need wisdom. Not to get out of this trouble. I don't need to have understanding. I need the wisdom to stay and remain right where God has me so he can accomplish the work he wants to do by all the pressure that's coming at me right now, right? So I need the wisdom that will give me the peace that will surpass understanding. This word surpass means higher, supreme, in excellency, in power, and in authority. So think about this. Oh my goodness, this was tripping me out. If you could just go home and read one thing, just read that verse and the peace of God which surpasses understanding. Oh, do it, please. I'm begging you. Do it. Spend more time on this one. Meditate on it. Surpasses. So think about it. It's describing the peace of God. He's saying that the peace of God actually has higher, more power, like I can't even describe it. Okay, it is higher in power and authority than understanding. Higher in power and authority over fear, over doubt. The peace of God will actually surpass anything else that you could have to keep you in and remain where God wants you to be so he can accomplish the work he's doing in your life right now. You need the peace of God to stay there, to reign and rule, because that's what the peace of God is meant to do. It's meant to get behind the driver's seat. That's the thing that should be driving you. You want to know what to do? Let peace get behind the wheel. Let peace reign and rule and take you there. Peace will take you there. Fear will not. Fear will not keep you where God wants you. Okay, it's the peace that surpasses. What will it do? It will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That word guard, it's likened to a military force, a military like garrison, if you will. So picture this. Here's your heart and your mind. Here's the arrows of trouble, of temptation, of trial surrounding you. And the peace of God gets in between the troubles, the trials, the temptations, and it guards your heart and your mind from all the pressure. So you can withstand the pressure to let God finish the work he started in you. Okay, because he wants to keep you there. Hey, do you know what he's doing, women? He wants to make you women that can actually handle a little heat, that can actually handle some pressure and not run and freak out. That's what he's trying to accomplish here, okay? And he's using the circumstances of your life to do that, and he's saying you need the peace of God because it will guard your heart and mind so you can just stay put and you can be at rest because you're going to be in agreement with me. You're going to be in harmony with me. You're going to agree that I know what's best. I know best how to accomplish what I want to accomplish in your life. He's accomplishing great things in you. He's doing great things. So now I want you to request from God. So I'm just going to pray just really quickly some of these things in and over us. And I want you to spend some time at your tables. Now, on that same, that first side where you already wrote down and answered those first two things, now I want you to go back at the bottom here and answer these two things at the bottom because now I want you to request, you know, in light of what you heard and see if it looks different than what you put down at the beginning of the night. So let's pray. And then after you answer those two questions, then I want you to flip it over and maybe spend some time talking these things out and talking them through, because I know that was a lot. That was a lot. And maybe there's like, you know, you need to connect the dots still. I know it helped me last week as God was just downloading all this, and I was just like, what? I don't even know. It all makes sense, but I like, wow. Okay, because he's changing the way I'm praying now. You know? He's changing what I'm asking for now. I'm not asking to get out of it. I'm not asking for the quickest end to it any longer. Okay, so Father, thank you that your wisdom is perfect and it's pure. And I thank you, God, that you know the cure to a divided heart. Lord, I thank you that you, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, are able to create in us a wholehearted devotion to you. And I thank you that you're at work in all of us in this room right now, Lord, transforming us with an ever-increasing glory into your image, that you're at work even right now, God, purifying our faith and refining it, Lord. You're strengthening it and fortifying it. And we thank you and praise you, God, that all of this is done by your Holy Spirit. We can't do this work. All we can do is say, yes, please. Yes and amen, Lord. So be it, God. Have your way with us. Be exalted in our life, Lord. And I pray as the women sit and talk about some of these things together, God, that you just continue to bring more wisdom now that the treasury storehouse is open, God, that you would give generously, liberally, that you would bring your wisdom, God. And I pray the peace of God would reign and rule over each one in this room, Lord. And peace would be behind the wheel, God, driving us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.